So let me just start with a couple of numbers. So Latin America is about 1.5 to 2% of Australian offshore investment. So it's not a particularly large number. So there's one way of looking at it is there's plenty of upside that to that. So Brazil is around about half of that. So by far and away, the major destination for funds flowing from Australia into Latin America. Most of it is in the form of equity, as I'm sure a couple of the other speakers will talk about a bit later, and only very little of it is in the form of debt. And most of that equity is related to resource companies. So most of the large Australian resource companies, as well as, again, the two sitting either side of me, can talk a bit about that, but most of them have fairly sizable presences in most parts of Latin America. The Australian banking sector, however, is not particularly engaged with Latin America. So less than 0.5% of Australian banks' offshore lending goes to Latin America, so very much not a destination for the Australian banking sector. There are also reasonable flows coming the other way. The ones that I'm most familiar with is that a number of the Latin American central banks invest part of their reserves, in a couple of cases a non-trivial part of their reserves, into Australia, and have been doing so for about 4 or 5 years now. So the capital flows between the region at the moment are relatively low, but as I said, with plenty of upside. I suppose the one thing in thinking about Latin America, and partly addressing a point that Brett made about outdated mindset around Latin America, I think is if you look at the macroeconomic frameworks, at least of the countries I'm most familiar with in Latin America, which is Brazil, Chile, Mexico, and then also you can add Peru and Colombia to that mix, they've all got basically exactly the same macroeconomic framework as we have here in Australia. Certainly on the monetary policy side, they're almost identical. I spent some time in the mid-90s, both in Brazil, a little bit of time in Peru and in Mexico, and helping them move to the sort of macro or monetary policy framework that we have here in Australia. And so their approach to monetary policy is very similar. Chile was actually ahead of us in terms of monetary policy frameworks, ahead of Australia. And so I find that our interactions with the countries in Latin America, we're very much talking about the same issues. We're actually facing the same problems. So Chile, Mexico, Brazil, and ourselves have all had to deal with large capital inflows and sometimes volatile capital outflows over the past few years. And actually, all of us have dealt with them fairly successfully. If you compare Brazil's experience over the past 5 years, Latin America's experience over the past 5 years with that in the mid-90s, the contrast is very stark. The Latin American countries, almost without exception, have come through this period, this post-financial crisis period, extremely well. And if you, particularly given their history, which actually isn't all that old, of not dealing with those episodes quite so well. And so to Brett's point, I think one of the major mindset changes which needs to happen is that, by and large, all of these countries now have stable, sensible macro policy frameworks. They've been stress-tested in an environment of actually extreme stress, and have all come through that pretty well, and in very much in stark contrast to a period, you know, not much further back than the mid-90s, where they didn't handle those episodes quite so well. So I think that's one of the other key important points to mention about those countries is, if you look at them from a macro point of view, you're very much looking at the sort of same macro situation here, very similar issues, very similar way of dealing with those issues, and very sound and stable and resilient macro policy framework. So I think that in terms of thinking about it as an investment destination, I think that's one important thing that people need to get into their heads. So maybe let me leave it there with that point.
Thank you, Iman. Guy, I'm just going to ask you just to... You said you worked in the region a number of years ago. Just that opportunity, you know, drawing what Brett was saying about capacity building and about the opportunity for the transfer of knowledge from what is a well-respected and a very solid financial system here under the control of the Reserve Bank into Latin America, your experience previously, and what's currently happening, if anything, in terms of capacity building and institutional strengthening?
I mean, to be honest, I don't. If I take Mexico, Brazil, and Chile, there isn't need for capacity building. The capacity is already there, and I mean, I say many of my counterparts from graduate school are heads of the various institutions in those countries. And, so I would say that, I suppose. But when we have a conversation with Chile or a conversation with my Mexican counterparts or Brazil counterparts, it's very much as peers, and it's an exchange of experiences. It's not an issue of capacity building in those countries. Somewhere more like Peru, certainly, and Colombia less so now, but more so a decade or so ago, there was scope for that. But I mean, if I look at the Chilean financial system, it doesn't look a lot different from the one here to some extent. It's, you know, the Chilean superannuation system is generally regarded as a world leader, ahead of our own, actually, to be honest. But there are a lot of similarities between their system and our system. Those two are generally regarded as models for a lot of other parts of the world. So the capacity in those countries is very much there. And I take Herman's point that if you look at how much of the sort of banking presence in each of those countries, yes, it's less than it is elsewhere. But in Brazil, for instance, there's been a lot of expansion, possibly too much in a hurry in the last few years. But I said the capacity is very much there. It's a question of utilising that capacity. So I'm not sure, if I take the larger countries, I'm not sure there's much more capacity to be actually built. It's more a question of utilising the capacity, which is actually there. And as I said earlier, looks very, very similar to the same, the structures are very similar to the ones here.
Yeah, thank you. Pablo Cohen from Colonia First State. My question comes from an equity perspective and perhaps even from a macro perspective. Rightly or wrongly, Latin American currencies are categorized, labeled, or seen as volatile or perhaps even too volatile. How do you see this risk? How do you manage this risk in terms of long-term equity investments, especially in the context that perhaps hedging strategies in Latin America are too expensive for the long term? Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't describe them as any more or less volatile. They're no more or less volatile than ours, for instance. Maybe we're volatile too, but no one's. By the way, at the moment, no one's volatile. So for the last couple of months, there's no volatility in anything, but including LATAM currencies. But I don't, as I mentioned earlier, if I look at, I spend a lot of time sharing, having conversations with my counterparts, and notwithstanding the previous intervention with my counterparts in Brazil, Chile, and Mexico about dealing with the currency situations, which is similar across the whole of LATAM. I know, at least in the case of Brazil and Mexico, that the hedging markets are actually fairly well developed. I mean, the Brazilian central bank has spent a fair bit of time and provides a lot of liquidity into the hedging market in Brazil, and that's been true in a number of other countries in Latin America as well. Is that the official sector is sitting there providing a backstop to some of the liquidity there? I would characterize, at least the markets I'm most familiar with in Latin America, I would describe them as certainly no more volatile than most other currencies in this part of the world, and actually in a number of those cases actually have a much more developed or a much deeper hedging market than they do, than some of the countries just immediately to the north of us, for instance.